Coming up next on Ham Nation, we've got a great show. It's the first one of 2019, so we're going to talk about kids in ham radio and Kids Day, and George is going to do some long-distance DXing on 433. Oh, you don't want to miss it in Smoke and Solder. That's all coming up next on Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 383, January 2nd, 2019. Happy 2019! Hey, good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock-ish Central Time on a Wednesday night. It's the first Wednesday of the year, 2019, so it's the first Ham Nation of 2019, and we're just honored that you've chosen to ring in the new year with us. We've got a good show for you tonight. Bob Heil is not with us tonight. He should be back next week, but we have most of the usual suspects. We've got just to my north in Jackson, Mississippi, we've got George. How you doing tonight, George?
I'll have to check and see, Don. Boy, it's been a, well, it was supposed to have been the holidays, but, you know, the life of an engineer, you don't know what's going to crop up, and everything did all at once. So, the 1st of January is a good time to reflect on your career and decide if you really made the right choice. Boy, yeah, I could tell you some tales from the transmitter site tonight, but I don't have, we don't have enough time here.
Yeah. Yeah, they, especially after you've been off for a few, you know, a couple of days, you have to come back and remember how to do your job. That's the way it is with me anyway. But yeah, that's the one thing of the life of an engineer. You're never off duty. So I do not envy you that. That's for sure. Let's head off to, speaking of electronics experts, let's head off to the West Coast and see what Gordon West has got going. And Gordon has a guest tonight. And we will, Gordon, why don't you introduce your guest and we'll see what's going on with you guys over there.
All right. We'll introduce him in just a moment, but first, this weekend, Yahoo! We've got training, we have contests, we have kids. 20th annual Ham Radio University, this coming Saturday. And that's going to be at the Long Island University, Brookville in New York. They've got 30 forums, they've got 3 workshops, hands-on, they got VE sessions, plus Don, they've got the CEO of the American Radio Relay League, Howard Mitchell. Howard will be there for lunchtime as their special speaker. To learn more, go to Ham Radio Union. Make that again, Ham Radio University. I got it straight. HamRadioUniversity.org. This weekend also is going to be interesting for the dedicated RTTY operators. It's the digital weekend, and WSJT-X version 2.0 is going to be in the mix. K1JT for Joe Taylor says probably go to the high end of the digital portion of the band. It's only 20 kilohertz. You don't have a lot of room to wiggle. But we hope that the RTT wires and the WSJT-X ops will all get along and make some great contacts. So, Don, back to you, and then I'll introduce our very special guest that's waiting in the wings to tell us about Kids Day. Don?
Awesome. Very good. Well, we'll have Amanda. She's watching the chat room right now, so we'll bring her in. George will have a little Smoke and Solder stuff, and it's just going to be kind of a loose show tonight. We don't have a whole bunch of special stuff planned for you because, well, we're still trying to digest the Christmas and New Year's dinners, and I'm full of cabbage and black-eyed peas, and, well, let's not even get into that. I do want to tell you real quickly, though, about a new Facebook group that Our friend, a friend of mine anyway, Kevin Duplantis, W4KEV, who has the distinction of running the largest linked repeater system in the state of Tennessee. He started a Facebook page a couple of weeks ago called Ham Radio Show and Tell. It's kind of like our show, our version, his version of our show, Show Your Shack. If you'd like to put a picture up on the Ham Radio Show and Tell Facebook page to show what you're working on or what you're proud of, got a new install, or just anything you want to show off, check it out. Ham Radio Show and Tell. It's on Facebook, and it's on there right now. There are 181 members to it right now, so it's brand new. But go on there and check it out. Ham Radio Show and Tell on Facebook. All right, Gordon, let's go ahead and get into short shots and talk about kids. And, you know, that's near and dear to my heart with the Young Ham of the Year. So take it away, my friend.
All right. Well, thanks, John. Hey, Barry, Kilo 6 Sierra Tango, come on in and give us a hand for Kids Day. Barry, how you doing tonight?
Great. Happy New Year, Gordon, and fantastic to be here tonight.
Well, thanks so much. Great to have you on board. Barry is the Nevada Section Youth Coordinator for the American Radio Relay League and an all-round good guy. So, Bear, let's go ahead and jump right into Kids Day this coming Saturday.
Okay, so Kids Day is Saturday, January 5th, 2019, and you'll see some great pictures we're going to have here of different kids. It's a fantastic opportunity for hams to get together with kids, get them excited, and drop those little seedlings in there that are so important to help get it going.
You bet. And we encourage all of you for Kids Day to get the kids actually doing things more than just maybe talking on the radio. So, Barry, what are the websites to learn about Kids Day?
Yeah, so a couple of them, ARRL.org/kids-day. It's got a lot of great stuff about Kids Day. And up here in the Reno Tahoe area in the Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Club, we have stars.org, S-N-A-R-S.org, and great stuff on those two places to help get kids involved.
Oh, that's great, Barry. Now, listen, for those of you that are above, let's say, 45 years of age as hams, sometimes getting down on your haunches or your hands and knees and then being able to get back up, Kids Day is a great opportunity to get them safely assisting with the put up of any antennas if you plan to do Kids Day out in the open. And Barry, what are your plans for doing Kids Day in the Reno Lake Tahoe area?
Yeah, so up here, we're really kicking it off big this year because youth is such an important factor. So up here in the Reno Tahoe area, we have a number of things. At our local Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Society breakfast, which starts at 8 o'clock local, we're going to be having a presentation. We're going to have some kids on to get the group excited. We get about 75 to 90 people at our breakfast. Then right after that, right next door is Cabela's, which is an outfitting place up here. It's a beautiful place. And we're going to have a booth out there. And boy, I was over there the other day, Gordon. I was shocked and surprised the number of kids with parents that were there. So they're going to come over there, check us out, and we're going to have a booth and get them on the air and get them sprinkle some really goodness in there. Then in the afternoon, we're going to get together with some Boy Scout troops that we found, and we're going to be doing from 2 to 4 o'clock up in the North Valleys meeting with them. So that's what we've got, three things going on Kids Day.
Oh, that is just terrific. And again, for Kids Day, we encourage all of you out there, especially in the chat room, to get the kids actually doing more than just maybe giving their name and their age and their favorite color, but getting do stuff that is beyond just talking on the mic. Here we have automatic or actually manual direction finding. And the manual direction finding is a great way to get kids very involved. And working satellites, let me tell you. So, Barry, are you going to have a satellite station at your station?
Well, this is the great thing about this. You just invigorated me to get a satellite system up and get the kids going so they can really participate. You know, quick thing. I was 17 when I got my license. I was lucky. I was young. Been doing it over 45 years, coming up to 46 years. But I recently have been asking people that have gotten their license later in life, 40, 50, 60, and most of them tell me that what got them into ham radio, Gordon, was something when they were younger. Somebody influenced them, dropped some seeds. So you never know where the goodness of kids and youth come from.
Oh, that's what a story. That's great. Now, one of the things for the very young kids might be the SNAP kits. SNAP kits are a great way to learn electronics without actually having to solder. But once they get older, then, of course, at many of the ARRL ham radio conventions, we see kids working projects like this, where they're putting components on. Here is a telegraph key, and this young lad is getting everything all adjusted. And we always encourage safety. Anytime you're working with kids, be thinking about safety. Am I right, Bear?
Oh, boy, that's for sure. You know, I learned when it's electronics, when you have one hand out and the other in your pocket.
Oh, that's always a great idea. Absolutely. And kids' eyes, boy, they can see the smallest of anything. So if you have a pocket watch that needs to be repaired, put it in there as well. Now, this is an interesting shot, Barry, and this is logging. And here we have kids making contact. And again, the contact is going to be on the HF bands, the VHF bands, over repeaters, if you don't tie up the repeater too much, simplex. And they're going to give their name, their age, their favorite color, and then I encourage them to ask a question for the other operator they're working. And here we see, especially in the bottom right-hand side, a young man. We see a lady operating and one other operator taking manual notes. And the big thing about the young man on the right-hand side is that he's logging, and you'll find that kids are great loggers. And I know, Barry, you're a contester. Kids make great loggers, huh?
Yeah, they sure do. And you know something? Kids learn stuff quicker than adults. So again, some of the young kids are 5 and 6 that get their license. There was one in QST in the January edition of a kid 9. There's a girl, I think she's 10 or 11. Her name is Daniela, K-E-A-G-N-U. She runs a net weekly on a D-Star quad deck group. So kids are the future, because as we slowly age, they're going to be the people that are going to help us out, and we can learn from them too. What do you think, Gordon?
You're absolutely right. Now, we encourage all of you that are going to have kids on the air to give them a little script, just like they do when they're working a school event, talking to the International Space Station. So give them a script so they're not going in there cold, and that'll get them started off on the right foot. And Barry, we always encourage a little bit of CW. What do you think about that? Dots and dashes for kids?
I think CW is tremendous. And, you know, besides CW, we got that We have the digital modes, right? The kids like that. And the other thing that's interesting is drones. Recently, to do drones on the first FPV, to be able to see it, you have to have a ham license. So there's many things to get the kids involved that isn't just purely heads down. A lot of fun activities. If they have fun and joy, they're liable to come back. I mean, here, look at this little girl here sending CW with her a hand key.
Oh, isn't that great? That's Faith, and that's Grace in the background. Faith and Grace, Hannah and her entire family are definitely kids active, and their parents have to be so proud. And it also helps us develop good, keen techniques. But remember, kids these days are doing their texting with their thumbs, so don't be surprised if you see some thumb action on paddles or a straight key. You never know. Now, what's next at your end of the involvement for Kids Day after Kids Day, Barry?
Yeah, it's great, Gordon. So Kids Day, it's just the one day, Saturday, the 5th of January, 2019. It runs from 1800 UTC to 2359. But the reality is kids will be interested. So we're up here in the Reno area the following week. And it's great because they're going to provide the kids, and we're going to do some training. We're going to bring in STEM into them. We have the school roundup coming up in November. We're doing things with the UNR, University of Nevada, Reno. That's coming up. We're doing some stuff with the local park and rec. I found out the park and rec is a great place. And then, interesting enough, in we happen to have the Nevada State Convention up here in Boomtown in Reno coming up in the middle of July, which you've been to, and it's a great place. We're going to do a kids track and a Boy Scout track. And then last thing is, for Boy Scouts, later in the year, in October, they have a Jamboree on the Air. So lots of great stuff. You want to tell us what this picture is, Gordo?
Well, kids always like a little excitement. That's Pete Trotter, our publisher, and that's Daniel Brimmer on the right-hand side with all his safety equipment on, doing a little CW, lighting off a Gordo pickle. And, you know, kids always love certificates, and I know that after you've had some kids over at your shack, you want to go ahead and give them a certificate. Now, Barry, how do you get a hold of you if any of our viewers as well as listeners want to get involved with kids and do more than Kids Day coming up this Saturday? Your best contact, Barry?
Yeah, easy. It's my call sign, Kilo6ZeroTango at ARRL.net. Happy to help. And I just want to mention the certificate is online. That you can print off on ARRL Kids Day. And, you know, the whole thing of kids, as we can see here, is they slowly become older. You know, there's Don there, second to the right, and there's Gordon, and a lot of familiar faces. So Kids Day, even though it's just now and there's another one later in June, it's an ongoing process to help the youth come up through the ranks like you and I did, Gordon.
Oh, that's great, Barry. Hey, Don, who have we got there in that photo? I think it's 2 years old, Don?
Yeah, it's from 2016, right there in the center, holding the certificate, of course, between Rich Moseson and Dennis Machenbacher. There is Skylar Fennell, KD0WHB, the Young Ham of the Year, and right next to him is Chris Bro, KD8YVJ, who of course we call Cincinnati Short Rib. Chris is not a Young Ham of the Year yet, and I say that yet because I have full confidence in him. He's quite an impressive young man. And, of course, over there right next to Chris, we have Emmett Hohensee from Radio Waves Antennas. So we have Yaesu, CQ Publishing, and Radio Waves, who are three of the corporate sponsors for the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. And, hell, I'm just happy to be there. It's a great group. Yeah, you're very dapper. Well, you always look very dapper. I don't know.
Roger, me. But, Roger, you know,
so happy to be involved with Youth and Ham Radio and in the way that I am with the Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. And I'm every year. It's like I think we can't find another kid more impressive than last year's. And every year, the kid is more impressive than last year. So. I say it every year up there on stage at the Huntsville Ham Fest. You know, you always hear all the bad news about the bad kids in the world, the bad young people, but you never hear good news about the good kids. And believe me, it's like the one bad apple in the great big bushel basket of apples. There's far more good ones than there are bad ones. And if the kids who have been Young Hams of the Year for Newsline are any indication, the future is going to be in really good hands. So, yeah, thanks for showing that. That's cool.
This Saturday, let's all get more kids on the air, even just kids down the block or coming by. And beside getting them just on the air, let's get them really involved with ham radio and something that they enjoy, including digital that kids do so well. Well, Barry Kilo 6 Sierra Tango at ARRL.net, thank you. The Southern Nevada Amateur Radio Service.org. Any last words about our future with kids and all you're doing up there in Nevada?
Just to get the word out and to keep it alive and going. Again, I was 17. I've been doing this coming up on 46 years. It's a total great hobby. and not everybody gets in young, but you know, something I think your comment, Don, here we got ARRL.org on here, Kids Day, your comment about the, you know, there's a lot of good kids in the world. That's my belief. And I think if we can Elmer them, like I've been Elmered over the years, and help other kids along the way at whatever age, I think you're right, Don. That was great. It's a good feature. Thank you so much. And we'll see you on the air from Kids Day out of the Reno, Tahoe area.
Oh, roger that, Barry. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And that's our story. We'll see everybody on the air this Saturday in New York. We'll see you over at Ham Radio University at the Long Island University in Brookville. And if not, we'll see you on the RTTY Digital Weekend, where WSJT-X version 2.0, thanks Joe Taylor, will be occupying some of the band, and we hope everybody will share the little bit of 20 kilohertz that we have for digital this weekend. So, Don, let me turn it back to you, and happy holidays to all of you. Don?
Thank you, sir. Good stuff. Yeah, you know, the youth, I mean, that's the key. Yeah, that's the future, because we're going to be gone one of these days, and it's going to be up to somebody else to carry on. Just as we carried on for the people before us. So it's a generational thing, and we have to cultivate the next generation. Absolutely. Good stuff. Awesome stuff, as a matter of fact. Why don't we go ahead and get a word from ICOM now, shall we?
Listen up, hams. Soon ICOM will be releasing the new IC9700. It's the latest transceiver bringing direct sampling and software-defined receiver technology to the VHF and UHF arena. You're going to want to keep this rig on your radar. The IC9700 is packed with features including all-mode tri-band covering 144, 430, 440, as well as 1200 megahertz, center design style 4.3-inch color touchscreen, dual watch operation, and full duplex operation in satellite mode. Smooth satellite operation with normal reverse tracking and 99 satellite channels. D-Star providing digital clear audio and internet-capable communications. Digital data mode providing 128 kilobits per second data communications. Look for the new IC9700 coming soon.
Attention all hams.
ICOM knows that ham clubs play a big role in bringing ham communities together to learn from their peers and industry leaders. As a way to give back and help you on your mission, ICOM has launched a promotion exclusively for U.S. ham clubs and the ham fest they're involved with. By registering your club, you could win ICOM swag, a Skype presentation for your club, or your ham fest, an ICOM booth setup. Register today for your chance to win at icomamerica.com/hams.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win. Great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And you'll automatically be entered in the grand prize drawing for a new radio. And, you know, back for December, we were giving away the ICOM ID5100A dual band dual watch D-Star transceiver. Well, we got a winner now. As a matter of fact, it's hot off the presses here, and he's in the chat room I see tonight. It's John WA8YXM. John WA8YXM, congratulations. You're really going to like that ICOM ID5100A. But hey, don't give up, everyone. We got another great radio for January here. It's super nice. Dual band, dual watch mobile. It's the ICOM IC2730A. It's got a large LCD display. Does 50 watts on both VHF and UHF. You can do VHF, UHF, dual receive, or VHF, VHF, or UHF, UHF receive. It's got a built-in weather alert. There's an optional Bluetooth port available and free downloadable PC programming software. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, when I want to know what's going on in the ham radio news, there's always one guy that I go to for all my favorite ham radio news. And I bet you can't guess who it is. Don?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2148, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. We begin the first report of the new year with an update on the tsunami that struck Indonesia on the 22nd of December, sweeping away hotels, houses, and hundreds of people on the coast near the Sunda Strait.
Donnie, YB2TJV, Region 3 District Communications Coordinator for the IARU, reported on the association's website that amateur radio operators had been activated in Banten Province and responded to provide emergency communications as search and rescue continued. Earliest reports indicated that ORARI, the Indonesian Amateur Radio Association, was making use of 7.110 MHz as well as an emergency frequency on VHF. Other hams were advised to leave the frequency clear. The tsunami, which reached at least 65 feet or 20 meters inland, was set off after the Krakatoa volcano erupted in the region. We'll have details as this story develops.
Newsline anchor Jim Dameron, NATMW, reporting. The city of Rainier in Washington State has gained approval for two new radio frequencies in the public safety part of the UHF band with the help of local amateur radio operators.
The city of Rainier in Washington State has gained approval for two new radio frequencies in the public safety part of the UHF band with the help of local amateur radio operators. Ed Broughton, N7EKB, the ARRL-appointed Aries Emergency Coordinator for the East Thurston County Aries team, assisted the city, which is one of the agencies served by Aries. Ed told Newsline in an email that by having the new public safety channel, the city will be able to expand its ability to respond to emergencies and deploy individuals to shelter locations who are not amateur radio operators. Amateurs can instead focus their resources on the city's emergency operations center. Ed said that hams with the East Thurston County Aries team will be training the shelter volunteers so they can gain fluency with the basic radio communication skills they'll need. He said the team will also be authorized by the city to operate as a relay station on their EOC net using the new public safety radio frequency. The hams will be able to pick up traffic and relay information to the county's emergency management officials or the state EOC using amateur nets and frequencies. Although Rainier's license remains in pending status with the FCC right now, officials expect it to be granted by mid to late January. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Change is coming to the FCC's registration system.
The FCC has announced changes being made to its commission registration, or CORS, system that will affect applicants taking amateur radio exams or making changes to their licenses. CORS, which maintains FCC registration numbers, known as FRNs, is being updated as of March 1, 2019. As a result of the changes, applicants for an FRN will need to create a CORS account first before requesting an FRN. The creation of a CORS account will require the applicant to respond to an email that confirms the registration. This means that applicants who want to apply for and receive an FRN while present at an exam session will have greater difficulty doing so. At some point in the future, all applicants will be required to have an FRN because the FCC will no longer accept Social Security numbers. Meanwhile, with the partial government shutdown in the U.S., the FCC announced on December 22nd that its offices will remain open through Wednesday, January 2nd. Brian Hart, director of the FCC's Office of Media Relations, said that funding was available to keep the staff paid through that date. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, NATMW, Jack Parker, W8ISH, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, Happy New Year! And we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have another chance for a solar storm from some coming fast solar wind, and our sun celebrates the new year with a bright new region. Those stories and more in the Shorty this week. Happy New Year, everyone. The sun is definitely celebrating the new year. We've hardly had a chance to come down from the last solar storm, and we've already got another coronal hole that is about to rotate into the Earth strike zone and send us another chance for more storming. Now, this time, this coronal hole is a little bit strangely shaped. It looks kind of like a triangle. So it's going to be sending us some sporadic fast wind, but nonetheless, it could be enough to bump us up to storm conditions, especially at high latitudes, and keep us busy over the course of this week. Possibly give us some sporadic shows even at mid-latitude, so we've definitely got to stay on our toes. But that's not all. We also have a brand new region that is emerging on the Earth-facing disk. This active region, 2732, it's even firing off a few mini flares, this happy little bugger, and it's also boosting the solar flux back up and well into the marginal range for radio propagation. So amateur radio operators and shortwave responders, hey, we've got some decent propagation on Earth's day side for a change, and it looks like this could continue easily over the next few days. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from the fast wind from that kind of triangularly shaped coronal hole. Now, this is going to be sending us some irregular bursts of fast wind. It's not going to be one steady burst. So we have a little bit of a spread in what we think we're going to see. At high latitudes, no one's expecting active to even minor storm conditions with up to a 65% chance of a major storm. Now, mid-latitudes, we're only expecting up to about active conditions, but we do have a 30% chance of a minor storm. But please be aware, aurora field reporters, if you guys are at mid-latitudes, most likely these conditions won't last all that long, or they'll last and then they'll disappear and then they'll come back again. So please stay on your toes if you really want to get those shots at mid-latitudes, because they really are going to be sporadic. But we could be chasing this easily throughout the first week and possibly even into the weekend before things begin to calm down. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we do have a new active region on the Earth-facing sun right now. This is region 2732, and it is even firing off a few little mini solar flares, but no big ones. So everything is in the green when it comes to big flares and radio blackouts. We have no risk of that. The one thing this region is doing, though, it is boosting the solar flux back up into the balmy mid-70s. I mean, it's almost like a summer day compared to the chill of the solar flux we've been feeling during this solar minimum. So amateur radio operators and shortwave responders, enjoy this marginal radio propagation easily over the course of this week before this region rotates to the sun's backside. But we do have a new region that will be rotating into Earth view, and that could pick up the slack and keep that solar flux up into the marginal range. Not too bad for our first week in 2019, huh? Now, just because we have that decent solar flux going does not mean we're not in solar minimum right now. We are, and unfortunately, that does mean the cosmic ray penetration is higher than it would normally be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include the air crew who fly more than 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are in the moderate risk for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is celebrating the new year just as we are. We've hardly come down from one solar storm, and we're just about to get hit by another. We have some fast wind coming from kind of a triangular-shaped coronal hole that is going to be giving us some sporadic bursts, but it could bring aurora down to mid-latitudes for a short while. And even at high latitudes, we could be seeing aurora chances easily in through the weekend. So your aurora photographers, definitely stay on your toes. Now, amateur radio operators and shortwave responders, you guys should also be extremely happy this week because we have a bright new region that has emerged on the Earth-facing sun, and it has boosted the solar flux back into the mid-70s. And this means we're well into the marginal range for radio propagation on Earth's day side. So enjoy that day side propagation. You might have some issues on Earth's night side when the solar storm hits, but the day side should look pretty good. Now, as far as GPS users are concerned, well, your day side reception should be pretty good with the GPS signals. And on the night side, well, as long as you stay away from the dawn dust terminators and from aurora, you should be looking pretty good. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always good to have Dr. T back on the program with the solar update. If you're not following her on Twitter, you really should, at Tamitha Scove. She's on there all the time, and she's always has sometimes up to the second information. I don't think the woman sleeps. I really, really don't. George has got some UHF experimentation coming up in smoke and solder, but let's go down the band a little bit to the shortwave part and say hello to our WTWW listeners on 5085 and 15.810, 100 kW, and a lot more normally. If you'd like to email the folks over at WTWW, you can do that. It's email at WTWW.us. They had some great Christmas music on during the holidays, and now they're back to playing the classic rock. So check it out. And hopefully you sent in your picture of your shortwave receiver all decked out for the holidays. I know he had some prizes to give away to various winners in that little contest. So check out WTWW and find out more about that. Of course, Ted Randall and the QSO radio show on there, as well as Amateur Radio Newsline and a whole bunch of other stuff, along with the classic rock and roll and everything else. And all your ham radio stuff you want to talk about there, email at WTWW.us. That is the email address. So appreciate those folks carrying Ham Nation. All right, George, what's going on with this UHF experimentation that you're talking to us about here?
Well, Don, let me just say I'm impressed by the way you just slid on down the band. You just scooted it right on in there, and I hardly noticed it coming.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of a professional, you know.
Well, yeah, yep, and you can tell with you know, a performance like that. Wow. You know, I didn't get to listen to WTWW.
You are easily amused, aren't you? You are so easily amused.
I didn't get to listen to WTWW for New Year's Eve because we were doing a live stream over at amateurlogic.tv. We did 4 hours there, and it's posted now. You can download it at amateurlogic.tv.
And, hey, as a matter of fact, not to interrupt you, but somebody emailed me and said that you were talking about me on that thing. So were you taking my name in vain again?
Very, very minute amount. I just said I wish you were here so that we could gather evidence, but you weren't. So something like that, you know.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
But we did have Amanda and Jeff there, and you're talking about a fun time, man. We had some clips. If you've never experienced Amateur Logic's Half Speed Theater, it is a treat in itself, especially when you have guests like Amanda and Jeff on it.
Is that anything like the old Pete Fountain Mardi Gras walking parade that they had down in here in New Orleans for years and years and years before Pete passed away?
No, I can't say it's any.
It was called the. He didn't walk. He was a slow walker, so it was the half-fast walking club. Is that anything like that?
Well, the whole program was kind of half-fast.
But
it went for 4 hours, so, you know, we had to stretch it out.
Wow. Two hours of programming in 4 hours.
There you go. We had Dan with us in 9LVS as well, and Tommy, my partner there, and Mike, VE3MIC, and I'm leaving out someone. We had Nigel from over in the UK. We had Andy Anderson from Puerto Rico. So we had a big crew and a really big time. If you got 4 hours to kill, that's a good way to do it. You know, kind of the title of that show was coined by Glenn here in the chat room. You know, he was in our chat room there, and I don't know, we were apologizing for getting things set up in the beginning, just like we like to do here. And Glenn, you know, he more or less said, don't worry about it. We didn't have anything to do anyway. That's why we're here. So that's the theme of the show.
I love it. Oh, God, I'm sorry I missed it. I'm going to have to tell my brother-in-law to stick his New Year's party next year. I'm going to just come and play with you guys.
Hey, was it fun, Amanda?
It was a blast. I can't even describe. You know, the Vegemite thing, though, that's just a whole nother story.
Well, yeah, that's a totally different thing. But we appreciate you and Jeff being there and being willing victims, participants in the program. It was, well, you'll just have to see it for yourself. But right now we're going to talk about what was the frequency on these things? 433 megahertz modules to use with your Arduino or your Raspberry Pi or whatever you're experimenting with.
These are 433 megahertz. It's a transmitter and receiver pair. Here's a little transmitter right here. There's three pins on there. The one on the left on the transmitter is connected up to pin number four on my Arduino. Center one there is plus 5 volts, and the one on the right is connected to ground. So just three connections there. If you zoomed in and you looked real hard at that left connection on that transmitter, it is labeled ATAD. What do you think that means?
ATAD.
That's what you would think, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's exactly what I would think.
But it's not ATAD. It's data spelled backwards.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah. So I don't know why, but that's the way they labeled it. It could be.
It's anti-data.
Yeah. Maybe because it's a receiver. I don't know. Pin 4 from the Arduino to pin 1 on the transmitter there is the data connection. Then on the receiver, it's a little bit bigger module. The left-hand pin there is our voltage input, and I found that it worked better off 3.3 volts than it did off 5 volts.
Okay.
And not sure why.
Did it call for 5?
That's the thing about these cheap little Arduino modules and all that you can find around. There's very little. They don't come with any documentation. And you just kind of search the internet, and sometimes that's kind of hit and miss.
Just start putting voltage on it and see what works.
Yeah.
And doesn't let the smoke in.
Yeah. I saw where somebody else had tried 5 and 3.3, and 3.3 worked better.
Okay.
So I tried it, and sure enough, it did for me, too. So I think maybe because the receiver was a little too hot.
These little transmitters, not much there, is it? Just a little oscillator?
Yep.
Two little inductors there?
Yeah. Pin 1 on the receiver is 3.3 volts. The two center pins there, 2 and 3, are both data pins. Those are disconnected in parallel. So I just connected to one of them, and I'm running that into analog input 0 on the Arduino. And then the last pin, pin 4 on that receiver, goes to ground on the Arduino. That's basically the hardware here. We can look at my crude implementation here. It's pretty crude.
I like the speaker.
Yeah.
The medicine bottle
speaker.
Reminds me, I need to take my vitamins today.
Yeah.
Do you have a prescription for that?
No, but it was cheap.
Oh, now you're talking.
Okay, so I've got the two Arduinos, and I've got my little transmitter module here. And as Tommy said, there's not much on it. It's looks like a transistor there, and then just a couple inductors. However, there's a few surface mount parts on the back side of it. But for the antenna, I've just got what calculated out to be about a quarter wavelength of wire sticking straight up. And then another one out is a ground radial. And then the receiver I've still got on the breadboard here. And there it is. Same kind of antenna setup. Just a little piece of Cat5 cable cut to a quarter wavelength. And I've got a speaker connected to the Arduino as well. So what I'm going to be sending, well, let's just look at the video here, and then we'll come back and test this thing out. Now let's take a look at our source code. Our Arduino sketch called CW Transmitter is going to set up a few parameters here at the top. We're going to create a long variable, call it ID interval, and set it to equal 5,000. Then we've got three integers here we're going to define. Key pin will equal 4. This is the digital output pin that's going to be connected to the input of our transmitter. LED pin equals 13. We could connect an external LED to pin 13 of the Arduino, but 13 also feeds the LED that's built onto the Arduino, so that's convenient. Another integer, words per minute, we're going to set that to equal 5. Then we've got three floating point variables here, one for dit, da, and character space. Now, anytime the Arduino is booted up, it begins by running this setup function right here. The first thing we're going to do is set the two pins we defined above to be outputs. Then we've got an algorithm here for the length of our dit variable. And this is maybe not perfect, but it's the closest thing I could come up with. I'm taking 1, dividing that by words per minute divided by 2.4, and then multiplying that by 100. And that should give me the length of a dot character in milliseconds. And then for the dashes, we're just saying da equals dit times 3. And the spacing between characters will be the same length as da. The loop section of the program here runs continuously the whole time that the Arduino is running. The first thing it's going to do is just pause for a length of ID interval, which was 5,000 milliseconds. Then we're going to send my call sign one character at a time, W5JDX. That's going to call subroutines below, we'll look at in a moment. After that, we're going to do a digital write to the pin that's keying our transmitter, and we're just going to set it to low to be sure that the transmitter is unkeyed. Now, we look down below here. Here are the characters of my call sign. A W is going to send a dot, and then a dash, and then another dash, and then it's going to delay for the length of character space. We've got all the other characters for my call sign down here. Now, we could have put the whole alphabet here, but these are all that I included. Right above that, though, we've got the routines set up for a dot and a dash. Those will be called from the individual characters. For a dot, we're doing a digital write to our key pin and our LED pin. We're setting both of those to be high. Then we're going to delay for the length of dit, which is the length of our dot, and then we're going to do a digital write to key pin and LED pin again, setting them to be low, and we're going to delay for the length of dit plus 50 milliseconds. Now, the dash is essentially the same thing. The only difference is we're delaying for the length of da. Now let's take a look at the receiver code. I think you'll find it's quite a bit shorter. At the top, we're going to initialize some variables here. They're all integers. Receive pin will equal A0. That means analog input 0 on the Arduino. LED pin, we're going to use 13 again, so we can just use the onboard LED. Speaker pin, we're going to hook a speaker to digital pin 8, and the other side of the speaker, of course, will go to ground. And we're going to set an ID pitch to equal 600 hertz, and then we're going to initialize a data variable. This will just hold the data that's received. And we've got a couple of others here. Upper, we're going to set that as 100 being the threshold above which we're going to consider high. And we're going to set one called lower. We'll put that at 50. Anything below that we're going to consider is a low. Then the setup section, as with the last code we looked at, this will execute whenever the Arduino fires up. We're setting the pin mode for the LED pin to be an output. And we're going to start a serial terminal this time at 9600 baud so that we can see the data as it's coming in. And then here's the loop section that continuously runs. At the top, we're saying data will equal an analog read on the receive pin. That means whatever is coming in on receiver pin, analog 0, we're going to call that data. If it's greater than upper, which was 100, then we're going to do a digital write to the LED pin, setting it high. It'll turn on our LED. And then we're going to send a tone out the speaker pin. That'll be our ID pitch, which was 600. If data is less than lower, which was 50, then we're going to do a digital write to the LED pin, setting it low to turn off the LED. And we're going to send no tone to the speaker pin, which essentially mutes it. And then at the bottom of the loop, we're going to print to the serial port whatever data happened to be. I've already uploaded my sketch into the transmitter Arduino. Now let's do it for the receiver Arduino. We'll just hit the button here. It compiles it real quick, and then it uploads it to the Arduino. Now let's watch it run. And you saw I included a link there where you could download the source.
That was some nice looking code you had there.
Yeah, well, the bottom part of the transmitter, that was stolen from N5Z. I did some custom mods on it.
There were some changes in there.
A few changes in it. But yeah, I'd stole that and used it once before for something.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what it's out there for.
Yeah, it was workable code, I think. We're going to find out.
Well, we'll see.
All right, so let's take a closer look. Here's our transmitter. And, I got it hooked to the LED to flash there, and it's flashing out my call sign.
So it's transmitting now.
It's transmitting now. It's in
delayed. So want me to hook, power up the receiver?
Yeah, let's power that receiver up there. You've got a 9-volt battery. And you can see
it's like black magic, man.
The LED on the receiver.
Yep.
Can you see it? It's flashing too.
Yep. Let me see if I can tip it up a little bit so the speaker.
Yeah.
There it goes. Can you see it on camera?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Did you get about half a mile with that?
Man, I couldn't get the width of this table with this thing.
Really?
Yeah. There's about 3 or 4 libraries you can get for this thing. I didn't try any of those.
In case you want to do pack it across the table?
Yeah. Seriously, you get more than a foot apart, and you don't know if you're going to be able to make the call or not. I did get about 5 feet with it one time. I think part of the problem is my antennas here, although I cut that for a quarter wave at 433 megahertz, it didn't work at all till I put that ground radio on there.
Oh, yeah?
And then I found out I have to point that radio to, it makes a big difference on...
You have plug into the speaker?
No, you don't have to plug it straight in. But
it looks like a fun project. Yeah. I bet you had a good time putting it together.
I've read where some folks have been getting, maybe 30 feet or so out of it.
Oh,
maybe
cool.
A little, you could do a little better with the right antennas. But, I'm not sure that this is ultimately what it needs for an antenna because, it's not necessarily 50 ohms on these things. I have no idea. And I really couldn't find any information on antennas
maybe
for
maybe you could have went with a halfway.
So it worked. I mean, you saw it. The wires weren't touching there. It's a good, 3 inches between there.
Was it fun? Did you have a good time?
It was fun. I did it all in an evening. So it didn't take long to put together. You could do a lot more with this, and I'm sure you can get a little better range than a couple of feet.
I'm sure you probably could, just have to tinker around with it.
This is operating in the unlicensed band, so you really, I just couldn't find any information on what is even a legal antenna for it,
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'm not going to run into any kind of FCC problems.
If you get much more range in across the table, you could have guys with the dark suits knocking on your door, man.
Well, maybe so. But it was fun, and I think, maybe I'm going to do some experimenting with it. I did not look, if you saw my code, I call it keying every time I send a high to this thing. Mm-hmm. I believe this is an AM transmitter and receiver. So I'm not sure, there may be a carrier going the whole time, so keying might not have been the right term for me to use in there. But I'm going to pull out my spectrum analyzer, and I'm going to do some tests with this thing. And I might do a little antenna experimenting.
That'd be interesting. Maybe you can enhance it.
And actually, I did do, and this was a while back. I don't remember how long ago it was. So I don't remember all the details. But I did find
kind of what the problem was there, and got a little better range out of it. We might take a look at that next week and see. I got way more than 3 inches, I'll put it that way. Anyway, fun times, and you know, I really like the Arduinos and the Raspberry Pis and stuff. I know some people don't. You just hadn't tried it yet. You know, if you don't like that, it's something new. It's, to me, programming those things is just like going to Radio Shack and buying a bunch of parts and bringing them back and sticking them together on a breadboard. Except you don't have to keep running a Radio Shack, particularly since there's not one anymore. it's a lot of fun, though. It, you know, it's just another way to experiment and try things out. And, well, you know, I was mentioning a moment ago. We'll come back to that in a minute. But first, I want to give away something here, or at least promise to give it away. This is an MFJ 2703 antenna switch. It's a really quite hefty little antenna switch here. It comes with SO239s to mate with your PL259s or type-in connectors. They're good for 2 kilowatts on HF, 1 kilowatt on VHF, or 500 watts on UHF. DC to 800 megahertz with the PL259s or up to 1.5 gigahertz with the type-in connectors. So, you know, just an ideal little switch there. If you'd like to win that, well, I got a question for you. On that little project there, using those little wireless boards there, 433 megahertz, they're unlicensed, so no problem there. Anybody can play with those. I want to know what kind of ideas do you have for a project for them? What would you use them for? There's no right or wrong answer. We'll just take a random drawing. Send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. See, it's been, it was last year since I've said this. hamcontest@gmail.com. And tell me what you would do with some of those little 433 megahertz modules. Now, assuming that you can get, you know, better than table length out of them, which, you can. We'll look at that in the future.
You can probably throw those things farther than they transmit.
Yes, you could in this case. I know I did better just speaking up than, you know, trying to transmit with that thing. You know, we want to know what you're building. We're always interested in that. And Randy is accepting your photos and descriptions of what projects you're working on. We want to know what you've been building, soldering, wrenching, or drilling. Send your project idea and photos, no videos, to k7age@outlook.com. And he'll be putting together another video for us here soon to see what everybody's doing. You know, I mentioned a moment ago about the Amateur Logic New Year's live stream event there. That was really a blast. And you can see, Amanda and Jeff right there in the top, and then Mike from Canada and Tommy right below. We had such a great time there. Go check it out. You know, you don't have to watch all 4 hours at once. And why would you? But, you know, going to kill a little time and have some fun. We really did that night. So go check that out. And right now, we have the star of Amateur Logic's Half Speed Theater. It's Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Repeater.
It was a lot better than that.
It was terrible. Don't tell it. Having to watch yourself in slow speed is, I really loved it when I watched Ace Ventura and you saw, what's his name, doing the reverse and stuff. Anyhow, this was horrible. But everyone thought it was really funny. I thought it was really funny, actually. I couldn't stop laughing. It was very, very fun time. By the way, Happy New Year's, everybody. Nice to see us in 2019 here on Ham Nation. All right, I'm going to get right to it. We have some good content here. First of all, Gordo, WB6JOE says, have Gordo tell us about the Condor net on 222.
There's so much use of the 222 band here in Southern California. The Condor Net goes both north as well as south and east. And the neat thing about it is there's not a ton of people that are populating it, so you can always make contact with a friend 40, 50, or 100, 200 miles away. So don't discount 222 to 225 as sort of a, you know, not a real exciting band. There are plenty of linked repeaters, and on the 222 band, the Condor Quieta System. Back to you, Amanda.
So a follow-up question on that. Can everyone hit those basically with their handhelds? Or?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The 222 band gives you the same type of propagation that 2 meters does, yet it also works quite nicely inside a metal building, much like the 430, 440 band. So, handhelds are fine. Mobiles are great, but there's a lot of Condor operators that use base stations just to stay in touch with their friends.
And now we've given away the secret. So don't go away, Gordo. I have another question for you. So as we all know, we have the government shutdown, and to let everyone know, the FCC is now going to be shut down starting tomorrow. So what does that mean for ham radio operators? Can you still give your VE sessions, things like that? We just have to wait on the call signs? Tell us about it, Gordo.
There will, I'm sure, Amanda, be a delay in call sign issuing. But yes, VE exams are from the private sector as controlled by the volunteer exam coordinators. And so, yes, VE exams are good. Just remember that it's going to take some time for the call signs to hit. And most VEs, Amanda, will take a Social Security number up until March. For the federal registration number, because if the shutdown continues, you won't be able to go to the Corps to be able to get your FRN. But that should not hold up a VE session if they'll take the Social Security number, and then later on, the VEC will probably go ahead and convert it over to an FRN after the strike is, or not a strike, after the shutdown is over. It's like a strike, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. I just like to see my panda cams. All right. So I asked the viewers here in the chat room what their resolutions were in ham radio for this upcoming year. But I'm going to ask our hosts as well. Don, I'll start with you. Any ham radio resolutions you have?
I am going to try to make more contacts. I know I said in the little video piece last week that I was going to try to do one a day. Well, I haven't been able to do that, but I'm going to definitely try to do more contacts. And I say this every year, too, for the last 3 or 4 years, use this CW key that I have over here. So far, I can spell CW, and that's about it. But I just want to get more active. That's my thing as far as ham radio. Just get more active, and maybe, I mean, I don't want to go out on a limb, but maybe get my tower up.
Nice. That would be maybe. Fun.
It would be.
All right, George, what about you?
You know, I really haven't made any, but the first one that comes to mind is to try to explain to the people at the radio station that they don't need to call and wake me up every morning.
I don't think that's ham radio. That's not ham radio. That's just radio.
But there is, there is RF involved in it. I mean, the transmitters call me plenty. I don't need them doing it as well. For ham radio, though, I got to kind of agree that I need to get on the air more. You know, I've got a nice station. I bought a new amplifier this year. You know, I bought the, I can't remember the model number now, but the top of the line Ameritron solid state amp with the band switching and all.
Wow.
I bet I don't have 2 miles on that thing yet. So, I
got to
get on
here. Well, we've got to help you out with that. There's a DX contest coming up in March. You got to stretch your legs out on that one, buddy. Get it working. Gordo, any resolutions in ham radio?
I do. I have a huge one. All hams collect stuff. When I buy something new, I never get rid of the old. And right now, this is just a sampling of all the very working, very well battery charged handhelds. I probably have 30, and I need to find a home for them. But I don't like selling stuff, so they'll ultimately go to someone that needs them. No, don't write in just yet. But as hams, we've got to equalize. Well, there's one less. We have to equalize our inventory of stuff. That's my resolution.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I wish Jeff's was. He collects stuff as well. You know, a lot of the old computers, he takes out the hard drives and some of them don't work, or routers that no longer work, and we have all these boxes of them. I wish that he would just sit down and test them and then smash them with a freaking sledgehammer when they don't work. So he stops trying to use them again. He's on the radio right now on the repeater, so he's not hearing me. But if he watches this recording later, he just heard me. Hi. It was nothing. My resolution.
It was all true. Tell him, don't worry, it was all true.
Don't worry, it was all true, sweetheart.
You're in trouble, Jeff.
He is in trouble. My resolution is to be friendlier on the repeaters here locally. Sometimes I could answer somebody that puts out their call sign and, you know, they're kind of looking to talk to somebody, and I have in the past ignored. I want to be friendlier. I want to talk to everyone and say hello and greet them on our repeater system. And I also want to answer more CQ calls on HF. A lot of people are just looking for someone to talk to. And if you have a few minutes, you should probably get on there and talk to them. They're just going to want to know what your weather is, what your antenna rig setup is. You know, you don't have to stay there forever. Maybe the conversation will get way better than that. Who knows? You never know. So those are my goals. And other than that, I'd like to be, I want to do like serious contest. I want to just go at it hardcore. Right now I just dabble and I try to make some contacts here and there and I play for an hour and take a break. I want to take one seriously. So those are my resolutions. And so real quick, like I'm going to go over some of our audience's resolutions. These are interesting. WA8YXM says, to learn how to use D-Star. I made it about 2 hours ago. Hi. Okay, KD5PUR says, to not make any resolutions. Good one. You never fail at that. WW0KRP says, get on the air more and get my general. That's a good one. K6ST, resolution, get kids and youth involved. Perfect. WA8YXM also says, that was the wrong thing. He got a QSL card from WTWW. Congrats on that, by the way. That was probably really cool. SIOK says, more gimlets. What the heck is a gimlet? I don't even know. Sorry.
Isn't that an alcoholic drink you make with gin?
It's something with Thanksgiving, I think. And
yeah,
a turkey.
Gin gimlet?
That's
giblets.
Giblets.
Is it giblets or giblets?
Giblets.
Not a gimlet.
but a gimlet. A gimlet, G-I-M-L-I-T, is a drink, an alcoholic drink made with gin. I thought you were saying gimlet.
Golf, India, Mike, Lima, Echo, Tango, Sierra, gimlet.
Yeah, that's a drink made with gin, pretty sure.
At least that's one definition. I will add that to my resolution.
To drink more?
To have that drink, let's put it that way.
Okay.
All right. I know we're over time, as we always are, because, and that's not on any of our resolutions to cut the show shorter. So, you know, you guys don't expect that. All right. Let's go over some nets we have going on tonight. We have 40 meters on 7192, 80 meters on 3845. They had to change that last minute. D-Star 14 Charlie, DMR TAC 311, and Echolink. Guild Room, is that correct, Don? I think I got it wrong.
Yeah,
that
the Guild.
That is correct. Okay.
Yeah, the Guild
Room. Check it out.
No, the Guild. Star.
The Guild.
The Guild Star.
The Guild Star.
The Guild Star.
Yeah. Kind of like it was Star Do Drop In Star. Star okay. The Guild Star.
So actually, those aren't stars, they're asterisks, right?
Well, yes. It depends.
Yeah. Yeah, but a star has fewer syllables.
Did you have the node number? It's 679.
Thank you all,
kids. I did
679-320.
679-320. Okay.
679-320. Okay. Yes. That's going to last with me about a half an hour.
Have another gimlet.
I will. Make me a gimlet, honey. Okay.
Jeffrey.
That's all I Jeffrey? Have tonight.
Jeffrey,
and
make
thanks,
me a
everyone.
Gimlet.
You know, we act up so much when Bob isn't here. I think he just shakes his head every time he watches the episode. He's like, oh, gosh,
sure
the kids. Dang it. So, Don, take
Bob's
it away,
head is
my friend.
Bob's head is shaken, not stirred.
No, that's somebody. Dimwit, not gimlet.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Good one, Gordo. Yeah. Good one.
Dimwit. Yeah. Gimlet? Dimwit.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, I think we probably screwed this up as much as we possibly can. So with apologies to Leo Laporte, we'll wish everybody a happy new year. And hopefully Bob will recover from tonight's show and be back with us next week, where he'll, snap us all into shape. So for everybody here on Ham Nation, we appreciate you, and we're glad you stuck with us all these years, and we're beginning another one. So we're glad you're here. So for all of us here, 7-3, good night, and we love you guys. So see you next week.
7-3.
7-3.